Glen Campbell there with Gentle On My Mind. Glen Campbell passed away in 2017 of Alzheimer's. He couldn't sing the songs like that that were made famous for the last number of years of his life, unfortunately.
Oh, that's odd because mostly music stays.
Yeah. Anyway, apparently that's a story I read that may not be quite right. But we played that. It's a good old baby boomer song, and the travel industry is targeting baby boomers, those born between the years 1946 and 1964, many now retired or close to retirement. Queensland's Brian De Bruyn and his wife Sue fit that profile, and when reporter Veronica Matheson met them recently, she discovered that they've taken 20 major overseas trips in the past 5 years, visiting all seven continents. Here's Veronica to take up the story.
When I was in India recently, I met a couple, a Queensland couple, who were celebrating their Ruby wedding anniversary. And guess where they were celebrating it? At one of the world's most romantic spots, the Taj Mahal. I had a chat with the couple. I discovered that they are frequent travellers, very frequent travellers. In fact, in the past 5 years, they've been to over 20 countries. And that's not just little trips, they're big trips. Like they've been to Antarctica, they toured India. They've been to America, you name it, they've been there. So I thought it was worth having a chat with Brian De Bruyn. Brian, if there were frequent traveller points for baby boomers, I think you and your wife Sue would be right up there in the top tier. 4 big trips in a year is a huge slice of your time at home.
Well, it's interesting because our priority right now is to actually do travel. My wife, Sue, and I really never expected that we'd do much travelling. Priorities have always been with family. Sadly, one of our children, our son, was born disabled. He's got cerebral palsy and intellectual disabilities. And we decided at that stage that it would be all about family life. So I worked in the oil industry, that I was made redundant towards the end of my career, and thought about working again, but we were offered a 4-week slot of respite for somebody else to look after our son. It was suggested to us that we should actually go on a holiday. So it was our first holiday in 30 years, and we had a bit of a quick look around. And Sue'd always wanted to go to the Grand Canyon and Monument Valley, and I'd always wanted to go to Canada. So that was our first trip, and it was an absolutely fantastic trip. Fortunately for us, when we came back, our son had enjoyed himself so much in the shared assisted accommodation that he was in that basically we took that up as a full-time option. So he's enjoying himself now with a level of independence, and so that's how the travel started.
Well, that's wonderful. And as you say, that first trip gave you a real taste for international travel. Do you have a bucket list that you're rapidly ticking off?
Well, we didn't initially, but we kind of developed a bucket list as we moved along.
I'd imagine if you've done, say, over 20 trips in 5 years, that you've visited the seven continents.
Yes, in fact, we have, which is a milestone that, again, we never figured we'd achieve.
What trips really stand out?
The ones that stand out for us are the ones that I look at. As I call them the expedition-style cruises, the ones where you spend a little bit more time on the active side. For example, we went to the Antarctic on a small ship cruise a few years back, and the piece that we really enjoyed around that was the actual day trips on the Zodiac. You know, you'd jump on a Zodiac with 8 or 10 other people, and you'd go off and you'd see mainland, the ice, the animals, that sort of stuff. We actually went to a place on the Earth where there are no people, you know, no permanent residents. It was so different to everywhere else we'd been. It was so quiet. It was so picturesque. It was just absolutely stunning. You know, it was the seventh of the continents that obviously not that many people get to see, and it was just simply astounding. We did a similar thing in the Amazon. It was, again, a small ship. You jump into little small boats and you shoot off into the tributaries of the Amazon, and you really got up and close to nature. Sue and I have got a trip planned next year that we're hoping will match the Antarctic. We're actually doing a small ship cruise across the Northwest Passage at the top of Canada. Now, that's another one of those locations that's very, very difficult to get to. And basically, you can only get there in the middle of summer when the ice melts. And we're looking forward to seeing, the area close to the North Pole in much the same way that we experience the Antarctic.
Tell me, do you actually make notes along the way? Do you keep a diary?
So that's one of the things I really actually enjoy doing. I love photography. I'm not a professional photographer by any stretch. But what I do is every night, without fail, I'll write a bit of a travel diary about the day's events. That allows me to keep track of exactly what we've been doing. And when we get home, I can always tie that back into the photos that we've taken. And I guess my hope is, in 10 or 20 years, when I'm no longer able to, run around the same way that I can do now, I can read that, just think about the great times that we had on our travels.
Oh, that's a fabulous idea. Do you prefer to travel as a couple, or do you prefer to travel in a group?
We love traveling in a group. And I guess this goes back to where we were when we thought we would never travel. Now, over the years where we looked after our children and family at home, basically, our circle of friends was very limited. When we went on group travel, we found that we met lots and lots of interesting people, and we've had a great time communicating with a lot of those people, even after we've finished on the tours. So we really do enjoy the group style tours. Having said that, I mean, we'll go away on we'll go and do day walks around cities while we're on tour, and just do that by ourselves, obviously, to enjoy a little bit of quiet time as well.
When you are actually going somewhere, do you read a lot about it before you go?
Look, we do a little bit. What I found was, as long as I've got a general idea about it, I'm okay. Problem I found was trying to learn too much about it. It really never the same. Unless you've actually visited a place, you really can't get a feel for what it's like. More often than not, it was nothing like what we actually experienced. So in fact, we probably don't do as much reading about those locations in advance now. I mean, what we actually do is we read a lot more about it after we've come back, because you can tie what you've seen in with a lot of the writing. It's more a matter of making sure that you see the priority places to go, which is, again, one of the reasons why we do enjoy the group travel, because, they've had a lot of experience in terms of knowing the places where, the visitors prefer to end up.
And what about food? I mean, do you manage to escape Deli Belly?
It is an interesting one. We've had the odd cases where we've picked up the unspecified bug and not being particularly well. But on the whole, I think you just got to be cautious. You got to be sensible.
And I guess in some places you don't drink the local water and you avoid street food.
That's right. And again, when you're on a group tour, the guides are normally very, very good with respect to what you can and you can't do. It's not that we don't have the local food. We have that. But, we'll cast our eye over to the guide and see what he's looking at. And if he's looking pretty seriously at us about, oh, I would be doing that one, then we'll obviously take notice of that.
That makes sense. Now, is there anywhere you've been that has been a disappointment?
I would say not, actually. I mean, the reality is every place that we go, we want to go because we believe that it will be different. And out of all of those 20 trips, I would struggle to say there's any one of those that I could say we were disappointed in. Every trip we've done, we've enjoyed. We've enjoyed it because of the people. We've enjoyed it because of the culture. We've enjoyed it because the landscapes are so different. It'd be very, very hard to not enjoy a trip.
If things go wrong, that in itself is not a problem.
Things will go wrong while you're away. You might miss a connecting flight. You might not be here on time. You might find that something's closed on a particular day. Well, that's all related to the experience, So 9 times out of 10, the things that you remember first are the things that didn't quite go to plan and what you did instead. So, we see that as part of the adventure.
Where are you off to next?
About 6 weeks, we're heading off to do Spain, Portugal, and a little bit of time in France. And actually, we're doing a couple of river cruises on those trips. What we try to do when we organise our trips, we try to do a trip that's, say, a little bit more active. So late last year we did India, which was a fundamentally a bus tour, pretty active. And then with the next tour, we try to do something where we do have a little bit of opportunity to relax a little. So the river cruises give you that opportunity. You can sit back, you can go on the day trips as frequently or as infrequently as you like. But if you're finding yourself a little bit tired, you can sit back on the deck of the ship and just enjoy yourself.
You've been everywhere, man.
We've done Myanmar, Cambodia, Vietnam. We've been to Africa. We've done a number of the countries over there with various safaris, Kenya. Botswana, those sorts of places. The Antarctic, as I mentioned. We've also been to South America. We've done a fair few of the countries in South America. Recently, we came back from India. We always enjoy Europe. I mean, Europe's great for the history and, you know, some of the wine regions and things like that. So I don't think you can actually go back to Europe enough times to actually see some of the things that they've got there. Haven't done a lot of traveling in the US, and that's a place where we'd like to go back to in the not-too-distant future. To do a little bit more traveling there as well. So, Brian,
I'm exhausted just talking to you about all those trips. When you get home, you must just sit down and just stay quiet for a while.
Yeah, look, it's interesting because we do that to start with, but because we've done so much traveling, what we find is after 6 or 8 weeks, we're starting to get itchy feet. It wouldn't be the first time where Sue and I have sat down, looked at each other and said, geez, I hope that next trip's coming up soon because we're really looking forward to it. So,
well, happy travelling.
Thanks very much, Veronica. And you never know, we might catch up with you somewhere else in the world.
On the road somewhere.
Veronica Matheson, she's always on the road somewhere. Anyway, that was baby boomer Brian De Bruin, who with his wife Sue is a frequent traveller. He's taken more than 20 major overseas trips in the past 5 years, and there's really no stopping them. Other trips are already booked, Veronica says, including an ocean-going cruise on Scenic Eclipse. Now, that's a new luxury expedition ship. It's actually still being built. It's going to have helicopters and a submarine. That's a bit better than a rigid inflatable to take guests above and below the ocean. So maybe we'll get a report on that once that all happens.